Hi, this is Raphael from Atari, and you're listening to the Only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
Hello, this is John Mamias, and you're listening to the Only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
This is so exciting! Wow! Where to begin?
It's the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community, by the community. You can find us online at neverwinternightspodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hey, I'm Trey, a.k.a. Asher Khan.
Feliz Navidad.
And I'm Skunk, a.k.a. Skunkeen.
Hey, my peeps, and this is episode 86 of the Only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The podcast all about the Neverwinter Nights series of role-playing games.
Hey, and it's the year 2009, Skunkaroo.
Yes, first episode of the year.
Yeah, so did you have some good holidays?
Yes. Yes, I did. How about yourself?
Oh, man, I tried to stay busy. I had like a week and a half off. I had like a week and a half off work. It was nice. I worked on our new website.
Yeah.
So everybody check it out.
Skunk, Skunk helped.
Yeah, you helped with that too. I played some Mask of the Betrayer. Lots of it actually.
Oh yeah. I've been playing Icewind Dale, catching up on that.
Cool.
I completed the OC in the Heart of Winter. And now I'm on the Trials of Lure Master. Never got around to playing those. Well, you played more Mask of Betrayer. Are you going to finish that someday?
Oh, I'm going to finish it real soon. So that I can.
Oh, yeah.
And I got Storm of Sahir for Christmas. Yay!
Ah.
Yeah, so I need to finish up Mask of Betrayer so I can get on to SOZ. I geocached in New Mexico, and then I worked on the site some more. and then I played some more Mask of the Betrayer.
What is geocaching? I never heard of it much before until
caching, C-A-C-H-E, like a cache, like a holder of something, not cash money.
Do you go looking for geo rocks? Or?
No, it's a sport where you use a GPS, and people will hide these caches all over the world, and they get online and they post them, and usually there's some kind of story or they're at a place of interest, like a park or a historical marker or something like that. And the idea is you go there and you find it with your GPS, and nobody knows it's there. And they can be really small, where it's hard to find them, to big containers with lots of goodies in them. And so when you find one with lots of goodies, you can trade stuff. And you sign the log. Then you come back to the website and say, okay, I found these. And you can keep track of how many you found. And it's pretty fun. You can find out about it at geocaching.com.
Yeah, sounds like a wicked scavenger hunt.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is.
Yeah, so what kind of goodies did you find in Mexico, New Mexico?
Oh, well, I got to visit the very first oil well that was put up in the United States. There was a cache. There was a cache there, and it was interesting.
What did it have in it?
History. It was actually a time capsule, is what it was. What the site was. And they had buried a capsule there in 1985, and it's supposed to be opened up in 2035.
Hmm.
About the oil industry. Interesting. We were in Hobbs, New Mexico. If nobody knows where that is, it's in South New Mexico, out in the desert. In that town, from 1942 to 1948, they built an army base just for World War II. And it was built just to train pilots. And there's a big park there now, and it's kind of like a historical monument place. And it was interesting. And there's all kinds of caches there that you can go find with your GPSer. And what I found out was that Jimmy Stewart was actually trained there.
Yeah. Was it warm?
The fighter pilot. Yeah, it was 70s. It was in the 70s.
I got freezing ice here. And I'm cold. You get any other cool games for Christmas? Just SOZ?
Just SOZ, yep.
Yeah, that's cool enough.
Yeah, it is. Man, well, we got some Wii games, because we have a Wii. I got a Wii for my birthday last September, so we got some Wii games.
I guess Dave and Lisa are working hard on Misery Stone, writing together. Yeah. Last I heard, they're crashing really hard trying to get that, get it all up to date and get it looking good for all of us eager to play it.
So I guess that's why I haven't seen her online in like 3 weeks.
Yeah. I messaged Dave and he told me he was busy. We're writing.
Okay, so let's get on to the news. We've got quite a bit of news because our main topic, which you're going to get to hear about later, is Skunk got to interview a couple of guys from Atari. Tell us about John, that, Skunk. Yeah.
Yeah, I got to interview John Mamias and Raphael Bayoun there, and these fellows were pretty wicked. They were really essential in helping with sponsor the NWC Con for at NeverWinterConnections.com. And I asked them some questions based on the community. Didn't get much time with them. There's tons more questions. Hope to end up asking them in the future, and hopefully they come back again. But really, there's some things in this which will probably astonish y'all. So,
if you're a modder, you're going to want to listen to it.
Yeah, yeah.
If you have ideas for a new story for them, you're going to want to listen to this.
Yeah. And also, if you got feedback for them, you're going to want to listen to this.
Yes, for sure. Well, I guess our first bit of news, if you want to call it that, I took a few days off from the internet and the community and everything and didn't even get on the computer for like 3 or 4 days there while we were in New Mexico. And I come back and there's this big, huge ownership controversy going on. In the community. I'm sure you heard about that, Skunk.
Yes, I heard about it. My mouth shut.
So I guess it's with sadness and kind of a heavy heart that we bring this following news. It seems that some ownership issues that have been simmering within our fine community have come to a boil during the holiday season, which is sad. Apparently, some members of our community are arguing over who should be able to use custom content that has been created for Neverwinter Night module makers. It seems that because of some things said, that some creators are pulling their works from the vault and sourcing elsewhere. And hopefully we'll have some updates on that, because I know there's also some efforts in the midst of all that controversy to try to stop these guys and gals from pulling their work off of the vault and to come up with a way that content creators can let anyone that wants to use their work know how their work can be used. So if you want to read about all this, we're not going to get into any more details than that. If you want to read about all this, please visit the NWN Vault forums and read the editorial that Maximus put out there called the NWN Bill of Rights that's in the archives. And I'd just also like to add that we here at the NWN podcast are not taking any sides in this issue. We feel that all of this is very negative for our community, and we wish and hope that all parties involved in this issue work things out and get back to playing the game we all love.
Agreed.
Actually, have you heard if there's any more, if they were able to talk some of those guys out of not pulling their stuff off the vault and putting them back?
I heard that some of the folks are putting their works back up onto the vault.
Okay, that's good.
There's not much I plan on talking about it or getting involved in the conversations there.
Okay, excellent. Also, Mask over at the Community Tileset Project, he sent us some exclusive screenshots on their upcoming release, and so you'll want to check that out. I'll put the links to that in the show notes.
Yeah, folks, and if you haven't noticed at the new page, we have a little video player there, and CTP, thanks to Mask, is giving us some exclusive videos for their future tileset Babylon.
Oh, cool.
Desert tile set. And you'll see that here soon this weekend. And we have a CEP updater, early adopter program.
Yeah, what's that all about?
It's quite funky. Akios, I believe that's how you pronounce his name, Akios. He's updated the standard ERF tool so it can update hacks over the web, as well as adding a few other capabilities as well. And I guess quite a few of the CEP folks team are really hyped and excited about this. You can do things. It's fixed a number of memory leaks, fixed several bugs, and updating the existing ERF that could lead to duplicate resources in ERF. And all resources added to ERFs now have their names smashed to lowercase. And quite a few other things, folks. So if you're a builder, you might want to check that out.
And I guess Dances with Rogues held a discussion group?
It got a wicked forum going on in the BioWare websites, in the BioWare forums.
Yeah.
And a lot of these folks are chatting about this module. Supposedly it's an adult module. I've yet to ever play it. Everybody that I've heard that mentions the game, they say it's an awesome game to go check it out. And a lot of the folks are trying to rally together and support the author to hopefully create an extra adventure based on this series with the Dance with Rogues. And you just go click on this link in our show notes and you could join the discussion and see what all the hype is about this module, A Dance with Rogues.
Striker B goes, "This is one of the greatest adult-themed modules I've ever played, and still is."
Yeah, a lot of folks are really hyped about that game. I've yet to get into it.
Ask me if I've played it.
I already know the answer. Have you played it? You haven't played it, right?
No.
I don't think so. Is it because it has an adult themes in it?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. 169 translation group.
Yeah, the NWN 1.6 is being converted to other languages, is that right?
Correct, and I believe they're redoing some work on some things, like some other languages that didn't get through all the way, or there was an error in the process. So it looks like some international languages might have to hold off a little bit longer until they fix some of the transcripts for that. Let's see. They have
that was, Chris Priestley telling us about that, wasn't it?
Yes. Now, hopefully, it could be updated now because that was like news, like right when we went on vacation.
Yeah, it was
before the year.
Yeah, that was right before Christmas.
Yeah, looks like BioWare has been on vacation too. There's a message here from Chris Priestley saying he was out of the office from December 19th until the 5th of this month. So, but the main thing is that the German and French versions look great, so French and German folks should have the patch version up to date for them. And the beta tests are now ready. I guess they're just doing the beta test, so it's not ready.
Okay.
The bad news is that the Spanish and Italian files are broken beyond their ability to repair. So they're working on getting some more people to do some translations to fix that. And if anybody's bilingual and able to help out with some translations for the community, check out the 1.69 translation group for Neverwinter Nights 1 at the
Forums. Job for the Spanish Inquisition.
I think they're already on that. I think they're already on that. You know how
QK's on. He's on to everything.
Yeah, that Spanish Inquisition is ruthless.
He's like a cockroach.
Okay. Well, there's more than just him. There's a whole mob of them. Yeah,
well, usually when you see one cockroach, you see a bunch.
Yeah, great.
It's kind of like Pringles. You can't just eat one.
Yeah, those pills are doing a number on you.
Here, so I gotta take some more.
Drug abuse.
Speaking of cockroach, there's some news that he finally translated King for a Day into Spanish.
Yeah.
And you have the, what do you call it, the main role.
Yeah, I didn't even know I was like the main player character for that.
You're the main character player?
Yeah, and I had no clue. He just asked me to do some audio voices for him. I'm like, okay, here. I kept asking him questions on it, on, you know, the stuff, and he was gone away on vacation, And so I just gave him a sample audio, and he's like, this is great. I want to use this. I'm like, okay. You know, I thought it was going for a dwarf character. And so, no, I had no clue that my voice is the player's character, which is kind of weird. You know, one of the cool things I like about Neverwinter Nights is you could create your own character, you know, for these adventures. Mm-hmm. But I guess, you know, having a set player character works too.
Huh. But what's your character's name?
Belgia. It's Belgia. Belgia.
Okay, that's the first time you haven't been able to pronounce something.
Yeah. Belgia. Belgia. Belgia.
Belly dancer?
I don't know. Yeah, I had no clue.
There it is. And the star voice of Skunk King as your character.
But you're the character, so you're the star. You just get to use my...
So if I play that, I gotta be you?
Yeah, you get to use my body and...
Oh, gross.
...ground, so... Yeah, I'm eager to try it out. King for a day? Yeah, I didn't know I was going to get to be king for a day there.
It's good to be the king.
Yeah, Taibei messaged me saying that QK did that out of pity, though.
He's mean.
That's all right.
He's mean.
Yeah.
Next time I see him, I'm going to dogpile him. Oh, yeah, somebody created a cool web player of the Community Music Pack. I wonder who did that.
CMP did.
I thought you did.
I did it for the CMP set. That's just an easy little tool to help out dungeon masters and builders. Scan through the music songs, audio from the CMP pack. It's a pretty expansive pack of lots of different audio files. So using this little player will help you a lot to set the mood for your areas and help you pick through them without having to switch in between different screens all the time while you're building with your modules.
Or helps you set the mood for a podcast.
Yeah, or a vidcast.
Which is what I've used it for, and I'm going to put a comment here saying that, and I'm going to vote for it. Now, wait a second. Who did this? You did this? Author.
I made the player.
You made the player for them.
Yeah, but if you're going to make a vote, go listen to the music.
But
and
it doesn't mention you.
That's fine. Go vote for CMP. Because those are the CMP group that put all that together is the ones that ended up doing everything.
Yeah, but when I use it, I use it off your website.
Yeah. Give if you're going to do a vote for CMP. Folks, and give them your comments. Other than that, if there's a conflict with the player, or if it's not working for a browser,
call Mask. That's MASKE.
Then give me a holler. Mention something there. Well, hopefully I could create a web player and I could give it to RPG Modding and they can host it at their site and all that. But for right now, I'm willing to update it, you know, for them if they come out with a new release for CMP and help folks check it out. As a dungeon master, I use it in my games. I use music a lot, and it enhances the mood and atmosphere of the adventures for my players.
Here's what I wrote. I voted a 10, and I said, oh my, this is awesome. I got to use it off Skunk's website first.
Great.
Nanner, nanner, nanner.
Actually, I just recently got permission from Type.
This is good for setting mood in our podcast, too. Whee!
Yep. Yeah, that's
you don't want
cool
me to say that?
No, go ahead.
Submitted.
All right.
What do you mean you got permission from Taibei to do what?
No, Tiberius Morgan to go ahead and post it up there. Because yeah, right. I'm not on the CMP team. I just made that to help them, and I showed it to them. They had it for quite a while before anybody else had it, so they kind of beat you to the draw on playing it first.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, man. I can't retract that either.
That's okay.
Oh, well.
Some people from RPG modding will come in there and they'll blow some stink your way. Other news, at neverwinterconnections.com, Grey Wolf McGrowler became the DM for the month of December, and Cyrodiil became the player for the month of December.
Have you ever played with him?
No, but I read an awesome article on Grey Wolf McGrowler at neverwintercampaigns.com. Mm-hmm. There was a good feature on there talking about his adventures that he's running for his players, and he had an opening, which is most likely filled now, because it really made his adventures sound really enticing.
Cool. Okay, I think that's all we have for the news this week. We had quite a bit since we were away for several weeks.
Yeah, and hopefully with Dave and Michelle coming back next week, they'll have a lot of news for us too.
Sure. Excellent day. And now, sit back and enjoy the Atari interview, and you don't want to miss this one.
Folks, today we have with us two gentlemen from Atari Europe.
Hello, this is John Mamias from Atari. I'm the senior producer. It's really nice to be here. Thanks.
Hi, this is Rafael Boyon from Atari Europe. I'm an associate producer working with John, and it's nice to meet you.
How did you both become involved with Infogrames and Atari?
I am a self-teaching artist and engineer and project manager, and I've been playing video games from a very young age, so I thought it would be cool to work in the video games industry. And living in Lyon, it was obviously very easy to try and work for Infogrames and Atari.
I've been working in the game industry for about 13 years, and I happened to be working at a studio in Germany, and became available to come to work in France at Atari Europe. They needed someone to basically come in and take over on production of The Witcher.
How did you both get assigned with Wicked RPG games like The Witcher and Neverwinter Nights, Storm of Zaheer?
At Atari, we like to be assigned to the genres we prefer as video games. And I think we both love RPG games. We were playing the pen and paper D&D for years. So it was a very natural choice to try and be part of the RPG team.
That's all right.
Would you please give us an example of some of the milestones of development that is put onto the production for games like Neverwinter Nights 2, Storm of Zaheer, or The Witcher, please?
Okay. So I'll talk a little bit about our pre-production milestones. Basically, in the beginning of the project, we try to de-risk a lot, so it requires delivery of things like playable prototype builds or a vertical slice build. So for instance, a vertical slice build is something that is basically a very sort of really a slice of the game as it would be in Final Quality. And the reason we want to see it up front is because we want to make sure that the final quality is going to be up to snuff, basically good enough to ship the game. It also sets a really high bar for the development team to hit the early objectives they set in the beginning of the project. So, I mean, in terms of pre-production, I think that vertical slice kind of covers at least one of our kinds of milestones. Apart from that, We've got normal production milestones. Usually, there's a number of them depending on how long the project is. If it's a 2-year project, we might have a milestone every 6 weeks delivered to us. And it just includes usually a set of assets, a sort of iterative playable build, and a set of revised documents. So we'll get a revised design document and a revised technical design document just to see how the game is progressing. And all these milestone definitions are set early in the project, actually in the contract phase. So the way we manage them is that we just look at the milestones according to what they were defined in the contract and make sure that they're hitting them as they promised. Pretty much how it works.
There's a rumor that Atari is working on possibly publishing Baldur's Gate 3 someday. Is this going to happen, and by who?
Since, you know, when games aren't, they're not publicly announced, we're actually not allowed to talk about them too much. So giving out details about development teams or when it's going to happen is potentially, so that's something we can't talk to you guys about.
Well, the 4th of this month, Phil Harrison went to a press conference and said that possibly Baldur's Gate 3 would be sometime, be a development process for like after 2009. So we wanted to end up checking the source if that was possibly true. We are maybe going to get Baldur's Gate 3. Now, with the new DRM in place with the Neverwinter Nights 2 game, do you have a projection now on the release for Mysteries of Westgate?
Oh, the authentication server. No, we don't. The thing about this is we want to release it. It's ready to go out, and we need to release it. But actually, at Atari, we're kind of reworking our online strategy, and part of launching a part of that online strategy would include the release of Mysteries of Westgate. Now, that could be subject to change, and we could release it sooner than later. But we're actually talking about that now. But it's a really solid premium module, so we definitely want to get it out there, and we know we've probably been holding on to it for too long. So, yeah, we need to release it soon.
Will we see future expansions beyond Storm of Zaheer for Neverwinter Nights 2?
Currently, we don't have anything signed in terms of doing future expansions for Neverwinter Nights 2 series of games, but we are discussing doing another expansion pack with the team, and I'm pretty sure it's going to happen. So we will see. It's not fully signed up yet.
All right. How about more adventure packs beyond Mysteries of Westgate?
No one's proposed or approached us on doing any more premium modules or adventure packs on Neverwinter Nights 2, but we'd certainly be open to teams approaching us on doing those things. The good thing about adventure packs and premium modules is that they're relatively inexpensive to develop, and so it's something that would be fun for us to work on. If there's any teams out there that are interested in throwing some pitches our way, we'd certainly like to read them and consider doing some more adventure packs or premium modules. And of course, modders can do as much adventure packs as they want. So we encourage that.
The Witcher became an RPG game of the year, correct?
Yeah.
And Storm of Zaheer just went gold. Who or what determines how these games achieve this status within the gaming industry?
Okay, you've got two things here. You've got Game of the Year. Game of the Year awards are handed out by consumer gaming magazines or sort of online or websites, consumer gaming websites. And so if you call, say, The Witcher Game of the Year, it's going to be based on sort of a magazine's decision to call it the RPG of the Year or something like that. Otherwise, the other term you use, gold. What that means is that that the game has basically been approved to release. It's not like in the record industry or something where you sell so many copies of an album. It's more just an approval of the final milestone so we can actually release the game.
And the how is more for the RPG game of the year is more related to game quality. So it's up to the game development studio and the publisher, especially the production in both cases, that decide exactly the how and what level of quality they can and they will achieve for their game.
Okay, late last October, Atari held a developers conference in Denmark where the Atari president announced the future plans of the Unity engine. All news reports on this event made it sound like the engine will be focused on providing hobby developers low-cost development tools and democratizing the development industry. Did either of you attend that developers conference?
No, neither of us attended the conference. We saw Phil's presentation on it afterwards, but we didn't go to it. But it's Unity, something that is pretty interesting because you can get pretty decent looking graphics in a browser. So it's definitely something we're evaluating for future titles, including RPGs. But currently there's nothing planned on that side.
Can you tell us some possible effects or benefits you believe the Unity engine may have for the future of RPG modding with games that would include a building tool set with them?
Do some more research on that. I think for modders, you're probably going to still need some sort of client to build your mods and make them work in a browser like Unity. But it's certainly possible that we can do client side conversions to Unity as well. So that would just allow you to, instead of installing a client on your machine, you can just open a browser and build levels right in the browser potentially. And I think that's completely possible and doable. It just takes time to figure out how we can convert all those tools into a web browser.
Do you foresee folks at a hobby level maybe needing to buy developer software for community modding or just the game that would include the client?
I think that given the sort of trends in the industry, it's more important to get people to start making their own content. So I think what's going to happen is we're going to start doing a lot more tool sets that are going to be free, potentially, just to get people building and uploading their own content. It's only makes the industry more a lot more healthier. You have a lot more content being made and so forth. But I think it's going to be both. I mean, it's still going to be clients and tool sets that you're going to have to buy to build games. But actually, I think it's personally, I think it's they're going to be free and a lot easier to use in the future.
Okay, the NWN podcast talk host, Asher Khan, a.k.a. Trey, he wanted me to ask you both, what kind of car do you drive?
Yeah, I drive the... I have an Aston Martin DB5.
And I have a Lamborghini Gallardo.
Oh, man. Raphael's.
If you believe that, I can sell you some cheap swampland in China.
I almost did believe that. I'd probably
neither of us have cars. I take the I walk to work, and otherwise take the metro around town.
Metro bus.
I still would be at home with that swampland in China. we greatly appreciate you letting us interview you for the NWN podcast. Is there anything you would like to tell our listeners or the community?
Yeah, something I want to add. We're working with Obsidian now to do at least two more sort of major patches for the tool set, which are going to be coming out. I think one's going to probably come out mid to late January, and then another one's going to come out mid to late February, maybe early March. But what we've taken a lot of the community feedback on the current tool set, and we're just going to try and really fix all the issues that are currently still broken with the tool set. So what I would like to request on the show is if there's any modders out there that want any specific things fixed about it, if there are any bugs that they really hate about the tool set and Neverwinter Nights too, please communicate that to us so we can make sure and get those fixes into the next two patches. Hey, that's all I need to. I'd like to add. Maybe Rat has something too.
Yeah, I would just add that we are very very happy and pleased to be working closer and closer to the community, and we did over the last few months. and we were very happy to participate to the Neverwinter Nights Con 4. And, well, we look forward to the next one. And if we can support it, then let us know.
How would modders be able to contact you to report their desires for the tool set into the Atari forum or to the Obsidian forums?
Well, I think that if they sent you an email or sent one of the community, one of our community contacts, the information, and then you guys could forward it to us, that would probably be the best way to do it.
Actually, we have community representatives all over the world. We have many in France, Spain, Germany, so that's great.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, gentlemen, for coming on to the show, and hope to have you back on the show again someday, please.
Sure, thank you.
Okay, and we're back.
Yeah.
Hey, that was kind of a shorter interview than we normally have, Skunk, but hey, it was a good one.
Yes, it was. Now, folks, did you catch a lot of the things that they ended up saying? Like, the key things they were saying is that they're interested in more feedback from the community for the upcoming patches. And the thing is that they're...
Send all your emails to Skunk.
Well, there's other community reps too now. Yeah, I'll be glad to end up relaying messages back to them. Hopefully, we can get those fellows back on the show again.
Hey, why don't you start a little forum? We can start a little forum in our new forums, if you want. For Atari suggestions. So if anybody listening wants to put something, put it in there, and we'll send it on.
Nah, they can just do it in a general. And okay. Hey, look. Folks, if you got any questions for Atari or any things you want passed on as far as any things with the future patches, if you don't have an account at the BioWare Obsidian forums, go ahead and put a note in our general forums here. We'll pass it along and try to use that to get those guys to come back here. So that would be great. And they said with... And Raphael, did you catch what he said with NWC Con? It's next year. They plan on doing more next year.
I'm gonna win something next year, dadgummit.
Yeah, they ended up hooking up with a lot of stuff. The pictures of Katrina Dragonstar's sword was pretty wicked.
Oh yeah, you drooled all over that, didn't you?
Yeah, I want the sword. Well, also. I was chatting with Rob McGinnis some time back, and he said that he had some ideas for next year, too, for NWC Con. Yeah, from Obsidian.
While I was listening to the interview, I also had an idea that I would like to ask Rob McGinnis to do for the podcast, if he'd be willing to. You know, when they were talking about the patches,
mm-hmm.
the upcoming patches, and that they also wanted feedback so that they could of what to include in future patches and things like that. You know what would be cool is if we could get Rob to, like right before they're going to release a patch, in addition to him typing up all the notes, maybe if he would do a voice version of that, we could play it on the podcast. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that would be. And we could ask him questions, and so he could put it in layman's terms for us.
Well, I was thinking of just letting him record what he wanted to on his own time and just send it to us.
Either or.
That way it wouldn't be a time constraint on him because he's a busy feller. Anyway, that was an idea I came up with when I was listening to the interview. Sorry, didn't mean for you to get into my head.
That's all right.
Don't want any of that Astrakhan juice all over you.
What? You gotta stop taking these pills before the show. Oh, that. It's not good for you.
Okay, go on. What else? Oh, the Unity engine thing was interesting. So exactly, summarize that. What does that mean for modders?
Well, it's just a future thing that they're planning someday, long, far from now. But
so let me make sure I understand this. So is the gist of that, say a new game comes out, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
and it has some of these Unity engine tools built into it, you'll be able to create graphics and stuff instead of like having to use a third-party piece of software like 3D Max or something like that. Is that what that means?
He said, like in the interview, he said that there's going to be still a bit of both, but they're going to try to put as much as possible into it. Yeah. It's just a way to try to democratize, you know, what people use as far as building, because supposedly this Unity engine will let you create things within a browser. So instead of, you could end up creating video games, possibly someday, just with your browser. Creating modules and such,
mm-hmm.
just through the browser. And, you know, it kind of eliminate a lot of other issues otherwhere, you know, elsewhere. That also, it sounds interesting to me, but still, I'm pretty happy with the way that, you know, and Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2 is right now. I haven't seen The Witcher yet, how that tool set is, or Dragon Age and all that.
Yeah, those are a couple of games I want to try to play this next year.
Yeah. It depends. Dragon Age has the DRM that Spore has. There's no way I'm going to touch that.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. There's not, you know, so, no. Look for me with me bad-mouthing DA if they got the Spore DRM in it. Yeah, so, yeah. Show no mercies.
Okay, so yeah, that was a cool interview. Thanks for doing that, Skunk. I appreciate it. You've been landing some awesome interviews lately.
Yeah,
you rock.
You know what I'd like to end doing, but I should end up asking first before I mention it. There's a lot more people I would love to interview this year, and
I dare you.
Okay, who would you like to see me interview?
Fergus Ungart.
You know, that would be cool. Yeah, that'd be cool. There'd be some other folks, too. That'd be also awesome, too.
I think we need to have Rob back on the show.
Go ahead. I've been reading a lot about Fergus recently, reading the history of Black Isles studio.
Oh, I remembered I had another question about the interview.
Oh, yeah?
Did you set those guys up to do the car question?
No, they
tell them to answer like they did?
No, I didn't. They did it on their own.
Really?
Yeah, they did that on their own.
that's funny.
They got me too. They got me good. I thought they were telling me the truth on their car.
Well, actually, at first they did have me when he said Aston Martin. I was like, oh, cool. And then when he said Lamborghini, yeah, then I knew he was joking around.
But yeah, that's the way to do it. If you're in walking distance of work, oh yeah.
Okay, right, cool. Okay, so hey, we got a new website, Skunk.
Hey, we already said that. How many of those pills you taking?
Did we already say that? Oh yeah, I guess we did. Hey, yeah, but that was before the interview.
They could see that they're at the website now.
That's true, because they have to click to listen.
Unless they're going through the iPod service. Oh, that's true. iTunes service.
Yeah, so if you're listening through iPods, hey, we have a new website. I mean, through iTunes. If you're listening through iTunes, we have a new website. Yes, I know you have to re-register. Everybody slap me with a fish or whatever you want to do. But it was just, we just couldn't, it didn't bring over all the users when I exported from one form to the next, or from one site to the next, so it's no biggie. It only takes a couple of seconds, right?
Yes.
And if you're a constant listener, you won't mind doing that.
Yeah.
Hey, and we're still tweaking the site, so keep coming back to look for updates. I actually got a forum link up in the menu now. That was one of the things I was wanting to do right after I released it, and I got that done. So now if you look right at the very top of the website, dude, there's a link to the forums. There were some people whining about that. I'm also going to add comments count to the episode summaries. You know how on the front page you see like an excerpt from each of the last 10 podcasts or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you remember on the old site, it would tell you right down the bottom of how many comments there were, and then if you wanted to go read them, you could click there and it'd take them to your comment page.
Yeah.
Well, that's one thing I didn't like about this one is it didn't put those there. So I'm going to eventually get those there so you can just click and go straight to the comments.
Yeah, I thought I was missing some, but I didn't, couldn't put my finger on it.
But the comments are there. You just got to click into the excerpt that's there, and it'll blow out and show you all the comments, which several of you have already figured that out. So, yeah. But I thought if there was a link there that showed the number of comments, it might help.
And we're still going to be updating the Vidcast player there. Going to transfer a new domain name for that. And also, we might try out a variety of different players, and we would welcome your feedback into our forums to give us comments onto the player, if what you think of the controls and the look of it, please. And right now, like the way we have it right now, is that the playlist is a little bit unseen. You got like there's an actual playlist down there at the bottom right now that you could go down and.
Oh, I know what I could do. I could expand that whole mod. That's like a module up there. I bet if I expand that, it'll expand the playlist. I'll try that.
Yeah, it might work. As you see, folks, we're still updating the site.
Also, we got some new forums. Unfortunately, you have to register on the forums too. So, hope that's okay. It was just too hard to try to link them together. Bear with us. There's a few little things that you might not like, but hey, still usable. Hey, did you like the dragon heads I put at the top of the forum?
Yes. They were wicked.
They were wicked. Okay, so I think that's about it. Hey, coming up later in January, we've been invited to be on another podcast, thelagwar.com, to talk about NWN and our podcast. Lag War is a Warhammer RPG MMO podcast, so check that out. And hopefully we're going to be on that later in January. Also, I'm going to be interviewing Winterhawk and Angelhawk from Harvest Moon Guild about their Sierra Naw game world. So you want to stay tuned for that.
And on the vidcast, I have a couple of interviews with some more folks. You're going to see a visual interview with Barry from CEP, and we're going to chat about some of the new works in the latest CEP release.
Cool.
And there's going to be some little gifts in there from the DMFI as well. There's some wicked stories on some of this new stuff that I think only a good storyteller like Barry could tell us.
Cool. All right, so I think that's it for this week, Skunk.
That's right, folks. Until next time.
Get in game.
And level up, level up, level up, level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. You can also leave an audio comment or listener hello by calling us on Skype. Just call NWN Podcast, all one word. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, who is solely responsible for its content.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2008.
Are those nerve pills kicking in?
Yeah, nerve pills. I read y'all talking about me when I'm not around. Nice. I slapped my ass earlier. So. Did he finally? It says he. Can't say that because I was going to cut that part out.
Okay. Good.
Say it.
Good. Say what? Edit that out.
I'm sorry, I need to take another pill.
No, stop, Trey.
Okay,
no more.